As we work our way through the life of David, today we're going to finish up chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 15 through 31. We'll be there in just a moment. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 31. Now, Pastor James Emery White, he tells about a book that he once read. The book was actually called The Book of Failures. It was filled with all kinds of failures that people have made. For instance, the book introduces us to Arthur Pedrick, who patented 162 inventions, but not a single one of them was ever taken up commercially. Inventions such as a car that can be driven from the back seat. How about a golf ball that you could steer in mid-flight? Now, wouldn't that be interesting? You know, you hit a wrong one, somehow you can divert it a little bit. How about this one? A plan to irrigate the deserts of the world by sending a constant supply of snowballs from the polar region through a massive network of giant pea shooters. His favorite story in the book was about an elderly lady in South London. She called a group of firefighters to help rescue her cat who was stuck up in a tree, and the firefighters, they arrived with impressive speed. They carefully rescued her cat. And the lady, she was so thankful that she invited them in for some tea. And so the firefighters went in, they had some tea with her. And as they were getting ready to leave, they received another round of thank you so very much. And they drove off and they were waving goodbye. But as they backed out of her driveway, they drove right over her cat. Now, most of our failures are not funny or humorous like any of those are. They're usually painful. They're grievous. They leave scars with us that last for decades, maybe even the rest of our lives. People want to know how to rebound after failure. Even believers, as Christians, we want to know how to come back after an egregious sin. How do I recover when I've fallen flat on my face, when I've failed, when I've stumbled, when I've fallen, when I cheat, when I steal, when I get a DUI, when I lose my temper, when I get angry? How about when I have an affair or when I watch pornography or when I gossip or slander or maybe even hate? But thankfully, we don't have to guess. David sinned atrociously by committing adultery against Bathsheba and then by murdering Uriah. And the Bible shows us how he rebounded after those heinous sins. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 31, and then we will continue. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused. He would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized that the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied. He is dead. Then David got up from the ground after he washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food, and he ate. His attendants asked him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat?" He answered, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and made love to her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. The Lord loved him And because the Lord loved him, he sent word through Nathan the prophet to name him Jedidiah. Meanwhile, Joab fought against Rabbah of the Ammonites and captured the royal citadel. Joab then sent messengers to David saying, I have fought against Rabbah and taken its water supply. Now muster the rest of the troops and besiege the city and capture it. Otherwise, I will take the city and it will be named after me. So David mustered the entire army and went to Rabbah and attacked and captured it. David took the crown from the king's head and it was placed on his own head. It weighed a talent of gold and it was set with precious stones. David took a great quantity of plunder from the city and brought out the people who were there, consigning them to labor with saws and with iron picks and axes, and he made them work at brickmaking. David did this to all the Ammonite towns. Then he and his entire army returned to Jerusalem. Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Now, 2 Samuel, you may remember this, 2 Samuel, chapters 10 through chapter 12, it describes David's battle with the Ammonites. And stuck right there in the middle of these chapters is a shocking account of David's dreadful sin against Bathsheba and Uriah. So many months later, the Lord sent his prophet Nathan to confront David about his sin. The Lord used Nathan to bring David to a conviction of a sin for which David repented, and then the Lord forgave David for his terrible sins. And although David had received forgiveness for his sins, he was not released from the consequences of those sins. You see, forgiveness of sin, it does not absolve us from the consequences. Just because believers receive God's forgiveness for the sin, it does not mean that God also erases the consequences. Sometimes believers have to endure the consequences for sin, even though we have been forgiven. And understanding that truth, it helps believers know what the Lord is doing in our lives and how to rebound after we sin. Our scripture today, it shows us how to rebound after a personal moral failure, that would be sin, in our lives. The very first thing to rebound from personal moral failure is to seek God in prayer. Now, some of you are going, duh, I know that. But to seek God in prayer. David's moral failure, that is his sin, was his adultery against Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah. He's convicted of his sin. He repents of his sin. God forgives him of his sin. But the Lord still carried out the consequences upon David and his sin. We read in the second part of verse 15, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. And David, he knew that the Lord was severely chastising him for his own sin. And commentator Gordon Keddie, he writes, in reality, it was David's sin that was dying. For we may be confident that the child was in the gracious hands of God. God loved that child and received that child all the way into heaven. Somehow God, in his wisdom, in his mercy, in his grace, he is severely chastising David. And we don't understand it. We may never understand it, why the child had to do this. But God loved that child and received that child. But David did not assume that God's declaration that the child would die was so settled that he just sat back and waited for the inevitable to happen. Because in verse 16 it says, David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. You see, David believed that God sometimes reverses his pronounced declarations. That was the case for Hezekiah, who was sick and dying. And even the prophet Isaiah went to him and told him to get his house in order because he was going to die. But Hezekiah, he prayed to the Lord and he asked for the Lord to spare his life. And in Isaiah chapter 38, verses 4 and 5, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. And so David now, he is praying. He is asking God to spare the life of the child. But in this case, however, God did not spare the child. And although David may have sinned grievously, the consequences were very severe. And even though at times we may sin and the consequences are severe from those, we're not prohibited from praying that the Lord can relent from the enactment of some of those consequences. You see, God, he hears our prayers. And he is pleased when his children will come to him in prayer, when we will spend time before him, talking with him, even pleading with him. He hears that and he is pleased. And so when you have sinned, when you want to rebound from that sin, the very first thing to do is to seek the Lord in prayer. And the second thing to rebound from sin is to acknowledge that sin. In verse 17, our scripture says, the elders of his household stood beside him to get him from the ground, but he refused and he would not eat any food with them. David is no longer hiding himself from the others. Quite frankly, it's likely that they already knew about his adultery with Bathsheba. It's possible they even knew about the murder of Uriah. David has been utterly exposed by Nathan the prophet, by the prophet Nathan. He has been called out. And so he's no longer trying to hide any of his sin from the elders of his household or even from the nation. See, what usually happens with a believer's sin when it is exposed is that the person leaves the church. They refuse to face the very people who want to come alongside and help them. And David's example shows us the way to rebound from sin is to acknowledge it. Don't hide it. Don't try to refuse that it's there or refuse to face those who are in a position to help, those who want to help. Third, to rebound from moral failure, we need to submit to God's will. David, he sought the life of this child for 7 days. For 7 nights, he prayed, he fasted, he pleaded, he mourned with God for 7 days and 7 nights. But on the 7th day, the child died. And David's servants, they're afraid to tell him that the child was dead because his mourning prior to the child's death, it was so severe that they were afraid David might do something drastic. David might try to harm himself when he hears that this child has passed away. But once David heard that the child had indeed died, he responded with an astonishing submission to the will of God. And David's servants, they're so confused by his actions, they actually say to him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat?" And David's response is very important. He answers them, and he says, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and I wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but will he return to me?" See, David's prayer for the life of the child, it was not based on a name-it, claim-it theology. David did not think, if I pray for it, then God's going to grant it and it's going to happen. There was still a question within David. And so for 7 days, he prayed that God would heal this child. He does not know whether God is going to spare the life of the child or not. But now that the child has died, David knows the will of God. The will of God was to take the child and to allow the child to be with God. David says, "I will go to him, but he will not return to me." David's acceptance of the child's death, it shows his submission to God's will. He trusted that God was in sovereign control. And indeed, that is what David did with his son. He trusted his son to God. And David submitted himself to God's will. And that is what God wants from each and every one of us as well, is to submit ourselves to him, to trust him enough that he has our best in mind and that he will take care of us and following his will. Fourth, to rebound from sin is to receive God's blessing. You read in the first part of verse 24, then David comforted his wife Bathsheba. Now get this, no longer is she referred to as Uriah's wife. She is now David's wife, and her name Bathsheba, it is actually used again. Part of submitting to God's will was to go on with life. So David comforts his wife Bathsheba. Undoubtedly, she too is grieving so very much from the loss of her child, from her baby boy. And then in due course, God blessed David and Bathsheba as well. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. Now, the name Solomon, it means peaceable. But the Bible says, in the last part of verse 24 and verse 25, the Lord loved him. Speaking of Solomon, the Lord loved him. And because the Lord loved him, he sent word through Nathan the prophet to name him Jedidiah. The name Jedidiah, it means loved by the Lord. And so God, he is so gracious. David had sinned grievously by committing adultery and committing murder. And God allowed David to suffer the consequences of his sin by letting the child that was conceived during that adulterous relationship to die. But God did not just leave David there. He did not just leave Bathsheba there to live within that, to wallow within that, to be stuck in there. God graciously blessed them with another son who is also an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gordon Keddy says, forgiveness cancels past sin. It promises future blessing and opens the gate of heaven. And you may feel that your sin is so wicked, so heinous, that you could never experience God's blessing again, that God could never forgive you, that his blessing will never be there again. But that is simply not true. It is a lie from Satan himself. Don't believe a single word of it. If David can receive God's forgiveness, and if David can receive God's blessing, then so can you. Finally, to rebound from moral failure is to return to duty. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, where this whole episode with David and Bathsheba, this whole thing starts, it shares these words. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab with his servants, Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. That's where the whole problem started. And then 2 Samuel chapter 12, it concludes where David should have been in the very first place. Joab, he's fighting against the Ammonites at Rabbah. And Joab, he is about to defeat the Ammonites. But he wanted David to receive the honor for defeating the Ammonites. Now, Joab, he, of course, knows about the death of Uriah. He's the one that actually sends word to David that Uriah has passed away in the battlefield, that Uriah has died in the battlefield. And it is very likely that Joab even knows about David's adultery with Bathsheba. But regardless, it is now time for David to return to duty. And so verse 29 says, so David mustered the entire army and went to Rabbah and attacked and captured it. The Ammonites, they became subject to David, and peace came upon the land. Now, sin, it is sometimes so crushing that we become paralyzed. We become stuck. We do not know how to move away from it, and we just wallow there. We sit there in that sin, and we're stuck there within that sin. Because you see, Satan, he wants you out of the game. And he will do whatever he can to cause you to say that you can no longer be used by God. That you are so bad that God does not want you anymore. Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to his lies that you are no longer good for anything. Instead, recognize that God forgives. His forgiveness is always there. And he can redeploy you into service. God never wants you. He never wants me. He never wants any of us to just sit around with the further possibility of falling into even more sin. He wants to forgive and to move on. God wants you to serve him with the gifts that he has given you. with the blessings that he has bestowed upon you. He wants you to return to duty. You see, as we look at this account of David's life, where he has fallen, and David never again will rise to the heights that he was before this adultery, before this relationship with Bathsheba. He will never, ever again get there. But know this, no matter how great your sin is, you are able to rebound. You don't have to stay there in that. God's love, it will never let you go. And because of that truth, I would urge you to seek God in prayer. Acknowledge your sin. Submit to God's will. Receive God's blessing in your life. And then return to duty. In a couple moments, we're going to take communion. And maybe you're sitting there and you're going, well, I don't have any sin in my life like David did. Let's broaden this a little bit more here. Let's see if we can make this a little broader. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I'm just too old to keep doing anything. Well, if you're alive, God still has a purpose for you. He still has a plan for you. You can still be used by God. Maybe in the past, you did something, you just fell flat, whatever it was. And you think, God can't use me anymore. That's not the truth. God can use each and every one of us. And we are here because of that. Maybe you have something that you struggle with. You have a thorn in the flesh like the Apostle Paul did. And he prayed that the Lord would remove it, and he did not. Maybe you are struggling with something. God can still use you. He can forgive you. You can be used by him.